committee budget hearing. I want to ask Ms. Dare if she would give an invocation, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Father, we ask your guidance in all that we do on behalf of our nation, Lord. We ask that our decisions be made in my favor. Thank you for all the blessings of life and for your love and mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Madam. Roll call, please. Chairman Nate.
Here.
Dodie Barnett.
Present.
Johnny Green.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Lucian Tiger.
Present.
Run out. Five present, none absent.
Five present, none absent. Constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. We have no minutes, so we'll go directly to the order of business. First on the agenda is Veterans Affairs, Mr. Ken Davis.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Good afternoon.
This is Chantal, who's our executive officer for our Veterans Office.
Do you have any questions, Tiger? Jennings?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aid. Roll call vote, please.
Charlene Aid?
Yes.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is the Citizenship Board, Nathan Wilson.
Good afternoon.
Nathan, how are you?
I'm good.
when we started the budget process, we had asked about the vehicle and did you check with Mr. Hovey to see if something had been worked out or they can...
It's whoever reserves them, that's how it works out. We can't get first priority on anything in the GSA.
How far out do you have to schedule?
I'm not for sure. We've been scheduling one every week right now because we have to go to BIA. All of our CDIVs have to go BIA weekly, and that's from Jinx location and mobile location. And that's not including our remotes that they go out on.
Guys, look into leasing versus buying a vehicle?
No.
What the cost effectiveness would be, or?
I haven't. I just looked into purchasing a vehicle. Really.
Is that coming from to the BIA here or in Muskogee?
Muskogee. BIA is no longer here in Oklahoma, so you have to travel to Muskogee on a weekly basis for CDIVs and 4432s and all that. They didn't look at that when they took BIA from us, how that affected our office, because it's a big effect on us.
I had a comment about that also, you know, $45,000 Tahoe, and I think you can get by with $20,000 Impala for the same reason. You can take the same amount. Probably better gas mileage at that.
Well, the reason we're looking at a Tahoe is because we have, our printer is about $5,000 printer. We have a box that it goes into, and that box fits in the back of those Tahoes when we travel. That's our biggest thing that we have to travel with, and it will not fit in the back of a car. Because even when we went to California, we had to get a pickup truck to haul that because they didn't have any Tahoes. I mean, it wouldn't be a problem if it would all fit in there. But
questions, Mr. Tiger.
I make a motion to approve.
Motion by Ms. Aide for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Sharon Aide?
Yes.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
No.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
In favor, 1 against, that budget passes. Thank you. Next is the election board, Nettie Harjo.
I
top page it has FY15 amount, $184,820. And it has budget amount requested for FY16, $186,580. And on the proposed salary plan page, it shows $184,080. I mean, what am I looking at?
Can you go to your next page and have an understanding on top of the money?
Oh, so that was added down?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we separated them.
Okay.
But they're all going to get paid out at the time.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions?
I have a question, Manager. Yes. So for the automated election services upgrade training, who attends that and what does that entail?
I'm the trainer. It's the holiday Wednesday. I work on a precinct. That's the election board and automated election services staff. We train them, and then automated election services trains them on the machines.
Okay. So we send all the people, or they come here?
They come here.
Okay. That's why I was asking. Is it Albuquerque, New Mexico? Do we send all the people?
That's for us.
Okay. So that's for the election.
That's just for the staff or the board.
Okay.
And you have to go to Las Vegas for the certification.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Comments, questions?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve.
Motion by Ms. A for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Debbie Burnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Alicia Tiger.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. So. Budget passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is the College of the Muskogee Nation, Robert Bible.
Mr. Bible and Ms. Hart send their apologies. They couldn't make it today. Ms. Hart went home sick today and Robert's at a conference, so they've sent me.
Oh, okay.
Clinic Factor, I'm the accounting specialist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Tiger.
Ms. Jones, we had a question on the cover page. The first draft versus the third draft that we have in front of us now. There's $31,596,644 difference. What is funded through operating funds? Now, as I scoot here, I can see a few things. What are the majority of the things that were cut from the operating funds, please? First budget sheet we have has the total amount of $326,019,661, and then the third draft is $294,423,017, which is a difference of $31,596,644. And as I look at this, gaming was reduced by $5.4 million. Operating funds was reduced by $17.3 million. Keep reading on that. HHS DOE was reduced $6.7 million. So my question was, what are some of the main programs, departments that are funded out of operating funds? I'm just trying to skip through here, and, you know, just like in you follow dorm operating funds, $120,000. So basically, what I'm trying to understand is how we kept $17.3 million out of operating funds. The difference. I'm saying because, like I say, the difference, the first draft we received was $94.9 million.
First page.
And what? Yeah, he's talking about the summary page. The difference is. That's the June draft, and this is the September draft.
Hell, because most of their funding got switched to third party, or IHS, and they flip-flop funding, and if it's third party, it falls under operating. If it's IHS, it's going to shift over to that HHS column. And they redid their budget like three times, so that's probably the difference. Right there. Actually, if you look at it on the health line, on the operating, it's $81 million. Now it's $64 million. And then you go to their Department of Health and Human Services, it was $55 and it's $44.
Right. So I guess that question needs to go back to health, and they come through about how they're going to cover $25 million, I'm guessing, correct?
Yes, and I don't see their reports because they're on a different accounting system than us. So all you're going to see on our books is a transfer out to them. And they would have to provide you the true numbers on what was spent. Because all I do is transfer. If we fund it from gaming or any trial funds, I'll appropriate in our books, and then we cut them a check as a transfer out, and it goes on their books, and I don't have access to their report.
So if I'm understanding you right, this comes to a little over $24 million. That is going to be coming out of third-party funds, correct?
Right. They would have to. Third-party is kind of like an operating that we have any of some of our budgets. Basically, if they run off the operating budget, they are supposed to bring that income in. And if they don't, what they do for me to appropriate is do a funds available, and that Intel will have accounting to funds available.
Okay.
Even though if it's in the budget at $200,000, I ask them for a funds available, all they have is $100,000 cash, that's all I can appropriate.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like a budgetary tool, just, you know, until the actual cash or dollars are available. Just kind of like the federal grants. There are estimated revenues in there on the federal side, because when the grant comes in, I have to appropriate what the funding agency is.
Good. Thank you very much. My next question is, Ms.
The budget presented to us today that we're working on, do we have the funding right now to cover the budget that we're working on?
The budget presented today is based upon the negotiated terms that came from the meeting between the council and chief. That's what it's based upon the letter that should have been presented along with the budget. And yes, the money is there, it's just to be based upon whether we make those changes.
And those changes, so since we have already changed one to where one fire receiving their full allotment, that's 3.5 million.
That was postponed, so I mean, that's postponed that.
But right, we deferred the Riverwalk payment, what Mr. Dean's talking about, but we did not do the one fire deal. The one fire deal went through, because I missed them that day, because it went through the full amount. Correct, Ms. Barnett?
Nothing changed.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, by postponing it, nothing changed, which means they should have already got the money.
So that's what I'm saying. So
if we have any carryover, that's what we're waiting on now to see if the carryover, if that will cover that 3.5 million that we would have had there if we would have deferred half of that one fire payment.
Okay, so basically where we are is carryover is going to be the first thing. Second, it will still be if council votes to change the distribution of the gaming monies, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions for Ms. Factor?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Robin. I thought the one fire came out of debt retirement.
Yes, it comes out of debt retirement.
So you have to see how much carryover funds is in there if you make the payment?
If we have. No, no. He was asking if we have carryover just for this budget. We would be carryover for 15. The debt retirement is that's where the one fire payment comes out of.
Yes, because we're going to move that. We're going to use that. We're going to move that money from debt retirement into gaming, the $3.5 million, or whatever the difference would have been, 3.6 million. We were going to move from debt retirement over to gaming.
You were, but
yes,
not.
But now we're not. No, ma'am. That's why I was asking.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aide. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Lady Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion. Budget passes. Thank you. Next is risk management. Bill Booker. Questions? Discussion?
Okay.
Is that just for projected needed expenses, or what made that go up?
It's just in case we need it.
Okay, well, I guess my question is, last year you needed 2,000, why do you need 7,000 this year? Can you justify the increase?
The overall budget didn't increase, now we just got more of that line item because we spent more than that last year and had to move money in. You look at the bottom dollar on it, it's no different than it was. Budget-wise, it's just in a different line item.
So you ended up spending about $7,000 for the vehicle maintenance?
I have to go back and look through invoices and stuff to see exactly what it was.
Should be on your seat, I don't know. Yeah, 5312 is in the account. Well, they used your day actual, what they used.
There's also a cut in the building maintenance.
We can go to other line items. Look, I can adjust it from 1 year to the next, because when we started it up, we didn't have money to put here, money to put there, and as each year goes, you change the budget lots here, budget lots there. We're trying to increase the budget lots by increasing the ones where we had to do budget lots in the past. Take some away from one to put in the others.
Well, for the, so on the gaming COS, it has, for your vehicle maintenance and repair, that you used 76% of your budget last year. Which means you didn't use the whole line of the amount. So that's why I'm asking, what's the justification for the increase?
Well, if you look at that, there's an encumbrance sitting out there, so that hasn't been paid out, at $4,500.
Okay.
I guess they probably had a truck breakdown. They're older trucks now. So there's an encumbrance still has to be paid out.
Okay.
And they have till October 31st to pay out any invoices.
Well, so I have to go back and look at my invoices to see what I have out there.
Okay. Now that's my question. That's what I'm asking. I mean, just explain it to me. We're not saying that. We just want an explanation to what we're
I mean, it's not just his, but any receivers, if there's an encumbrance sitting there right now at 9:30, that means they obligated to someone or something, and they have to October 31st to get their bills paid.
Right.
And then once that's paid out, it's going to actually turn into expense and show that they spent $7,000.
Right.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Sharon Nate.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Alicia Tiger.
Yes.
And Trudy, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved. Next is emergency management. Repair services. This is a very busy department. I see it's very busy. Thank you. questions on the Arbor Care Services budget? Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Charlie Nade?
Yes.
Dirty Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Carried out 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget is approved. Arbor Care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Human Resources, Dr. Dean Hughes.
Just point of clarification, so for the emergency, I mean, even if it's just going through the motions, do we not still have to motion and approve the emergency?
No, we got those were already done, so I just forgot to pull it out.
Oh, okay, those was one of the ones that we actually approved last time. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yes. I might make a note to our budget. We've changed it, reduced it simply from the last time we met a couple of months ago. We, because of our Laserfish project and the online timesheet system, we were able to reduce the entire board position out of our HR department. Found that person another job in another area. And so our budget from the last time to this revision is down possibly $50,000, $56,000. So we're comfortable moving on right.
And then I
think is that
803,
143 should be another one. Yeah, that's how much. Should be 803, 143. What is that, Sean? 795?
796.
I think that was one of the earlier, we had several revisions that came through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 803-143 is what is where we're at currently. And it was on the previous proposal was at 859-576. So.
Latest one?
No. Robin, do you have the latest one?
For what? The latest budget for Dr. Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
They were sent to your secretary.
Yeah, I thought they'd find a way to the community, I guess.
No, that was up to you. Didn't you pass them out at the cabinet meeting? You should have gotten some dairy lesson.
I gave this to him.
So you had changes, is that what you're saying?
Changes
compared to what?
No, this was the last revision that we did on that one.
What's the bottom line?
803-143.
No, I'm showing 791-019. That was
submitted to me. Make copies of this real quick. It's just a two-pager.
Ruby, so how about the incentive being added to that?
791.
There was something that she left out that we had to revise and send back, James, but I don't recall right off the hand what that was.
I don't know. All I know is I got the emails were sent. Marcus, and you turn them, and whatever you got, I put in our format.
Okay.
Yes.
So just for clarification, the new increases in salaries.
I know what it was. I believe that when that first budget call came out, we pulled all those raises back that were given. We had some people that were given raises, and we put that back in on this last call. We're not giving raises this year. They got a raise last year.
In the budget? You mean after the budget was approved?
Yes, last year.
Okay. Can we break this down? Were those salary amounts approved in the budget or given post-budget?
They were increased last year.
In the budget?
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at the 2015 budget, it should reflect your amended amount, not the amount that we have in our book.
Yes, the amended amount is correct.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes, I think what President Barnett's talking about last year's on 15s, the SD11 Spring Benefits Coordinator proposed salary was $44,111. SD11 Spring Benefits Coordinator this year is $46,342. And same all the way down from the first, except for the manager, all the way down to the very bottom employee on the list. There's anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000 difference in salaries from the approved budget last year to the proposed budget this year. So the raises were given mid-year then, correct?
Yes. Well, it was actually mid-year, a little after mid-year, correct? Right. Within the dollars that we had in our budget.
So then they were not approved in the budget process last year?
At those salary levels, if that's what you're asking, no, we gave that after the budget was approved.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Clearly I wasn't sure enough. So, was the difference in those salaries the COLA that was?
No.
Okay,
no.
So those were raises that were given on top of the COLA?
Yes, yes. We anticipated reducing back, and so because we spread the work around and we reduced that position out, we gave raises, increased to the other people in the department because we felt they were low to begin with. But overall, our budget is down to the tune of 56, even with the increases that were in place as we ended the year.
I think what happened in the confusion when we had negotiated terms between the chief and the council that evening, and one of those items was any raises that were given in 15 to be taken out, and that was at the time assumed that it was for everybody. So budgets were changed again to reflect that, but in talk with the council, with Speaker, and determining that it wasn't supposed to be for everybody, that was for cabinet members, I think their changes didn't get put back to leave the salaries the same as it was in 15.
Well, we did revise it, it just didn't get through the process to the committee, obviously. That's the 803.
So that's what he has changes here, is to put those individuals back to where they were at.
Yes.
I have a question. So previously when we had talked at the last budget hearing, I had mentioned that there was this urgent need for training in certain areas, but I don't see that reflected in your budget. Was that something that was that a cabinet decision? Would that be left out, or?
No, we feel we have in place dollars in our budget, plus the IT department has put a training module in place that will not cost us anything, and we have a way of tracking individuals that have completed it, and we're getting ready to put that in place here this fall.
What do the modules cover?
A variety of personnel issues, everything from sexual harassment to leadership, just a variety of topics. It's pretty comprehensive.
Okay. So then, each manager would be tasked with completing the modules?
Well, yeah, managers and or employees, whoever we target, and then we can track them online about whether they ever have completed it. It's kind of an online system, but it's really, I think it will work well for us.
So what's the policy and accountability for the individuals completing that?
If it's mandated by the manager in the department, then they would have to complete that in some time frame.
But it's not mandated by you?
Well, it may well be if we put it out. It just depends upon each individual department, what their needs may be in terms of what they want. They feel their most pressing needs are. But if we put it out there for employees in whatever department to participate in, then it will be mandated and required. They can do it anywhere, anytime, online. It doesn't have to be done in a 1-hour
session or a one-day session. The flexibility is good for employees.
Are there any more questions?
I have one.
Ms. Jennings?
Yes. The 803-143, that includes the 5,500 for the incentives?
Yes.
That's got that's just good. And our motion would be to approve it at 803-143. I'll make that motion.
Thank you. A motion by Mr. Jennings to approve the budget of 803-143. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Abe. Roll call vote, please.
Charlene Abe?
Yes.
Dirty Burnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Packer?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I just say one more thing before Dr. Hughes leaves and goes back to his very busy day?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a citizen, I really, really would like to feel more urgency, more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. I would really like to see HR push to have those modules completed at the very minimum by every manager. And then each manager held accountable for what they learned in those modules. Because right now, I don't feel that when I walk around this campus. And that's really disappointing as a citizen, as a woman.
Well, come see me. We'll sort of talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next is Secretary of Education and Training, Dr. Robertson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nice.
Tell you that I appreciate that you bringing that to the table for those departments, and I know it's probably tentative the way you came in, and you're kind of on, you know, we don't know how long you're going to be here, but I just really appreciate you digging in and really getting into the programs and the hands-on, and I love the fact that you cut the travel back, because that means that your position is going to be very much more present, and I think that's needed, you know, so I guess I had this question the first time we did this, when Dr. Johnson was sitting in your chair. And it's with the grant writing position. I think that I would really like to see that taken out. I think that that's excessive whenever you take into consideration the salary and fringe and indirect costs on top of that. We have a lot of other departments that perform those duties at a lot less expense. I know that it's apples and oranges, so I'm not trying to say all grant writing is cookie cutter, but, you know, at Charlie Lesarge's department, they pay $2,500 a grant. He keeps his grant writer on salary, if you can call it that, retainer, maybe a better word, for $500 a month, and then each successful grant written, that grant writer gets a flat fee of $2,500, whether it's a $500,000 grant or $10 million grant, doesn't matter how much that is. So I think that's a lot of money that we can make use of in a different way. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the encouragement, and I want to say that I felt the very same way with working with the team and all the managers at the Department of Education and Training. I feel like we're, you know, all excited to continue the good work, but grow good work. So thank you very much for that. Also, having the experience that I have with grant writing and with grant writers, I would say that this is a pretty high salary. It is most of the grant writing that I have had work that I've worked with and that I've done. You either write yourself in as an evaluator afterwards, you know, within the grant, so that you get the $2,500 to evaluate how well it's been done, or you might write in a position, but you can't get paid salary and write yourself into a position in a grant. It's not only not done, it's generally illegal. So it could put federal programs at risk if we did do that. So I think that if someone has experience and has received, you know, I have a colleague who's received in excess of $30 million and doesn't make this in grants and doesn't make this kind of a salary. So I was surprised. I thought maybe 45 or 50 or something, that this that's a higher salary. Also, I would really like to see two additional positions as opposed to that kind of a for grant writing. I think that I have enough of a network and I have write enough grants myself, just like other people in other programs do, that I can either guide them through or we can, you know, get grant writers in. And if you have one grant writer, they have to write one grant at a time. We can be working with 10 grant writers at a time rather than this is the way that I see it, you know, my opinion and with my experience. But I would like to have, like, maybe a receptionist, someone who can be available to answer the calls, answer the phone. Right now we have a lot of we use a lot of our program people to come up and answer the phones, but they might be there for a short time. They're, you know, depending on how long they're on the program or if they get an internship somewhere else. Also, I think that that money could better be used with a research specialist. Mm-hmm. And by a research specialist, I mean someone who gets the numbers and of the different programs that we have and who we're working with, so that those can be available to be put into those grants immediately. That would be the person that would kind of keep the numbers and really have the narrative already available for us to give to the grant writer to use. So there's a couple of things that if we were going to do something different, I understand your desire to eliminate this position. Would ask that if we do eliminate it, if we could perhaps think of at least keeping, you know, some of it for a receptionist or a research specialist or something along those lines.
That would be good. Receptionist, you definitely need
that. We definitely need that. I'm so sorry, but we really do.
No, it is. And we do need a research person, too, because it amazed me when I came here. We really don't keep numbers on anything.
No.
I mean, I know we're better now than we were 3 years ago, but I mean, I was like, oh, well, let me see your data, and there wasn't any data, and it just shocked me. So.
And as a statistician, I always want to be able to give you guys the best stats, and I just, you know, without having it, I don't have it there immediately. So we have an additional, we have created a different budget because you kind of, we weren't trying to second guess anyone, but it was on record from one time when I was here that maybe that position wouldn't be. So we do have a different kind of schedule A made up if there would be the opportunity to look at that.
I would love to look at that. And thank you for being open to that when the previous request was made, it was refused. So.
She is still working.
Working in your office?
She's not working under my supervision now.
Oh.
But she's still working for her internship. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
But she has written and received some grants.
There's been one grant that she wrote. What the other grant was the TED NYCP grant, and that grant was written by a community, which was what was required because it was the President Obama Generation X initiative. The STEP grant was received. It is $1.3 million. However, within that grant, there is no money for her or her position. It is for a third of a project coordinator, so we'll have to come up with the money for two-thirds of that other project coordinator. So it actually cost us some money there, and two education specialists. I would have advised that the grant be written differently, but it wasn't. And so she received the Muscogee Creek Nation received the STEP grant, but we do have to give a lot of a big nod to the Chickasaw Nation, who really gave us the step-by-step guide for that grant.
Yes.
Ms. Booker. On the SEBA, that shows $34,000. The budget form it shows $26,000.
In travel?
Yes, ma'am. I'm looking at 15.
Okay. Looks like they modified throughout the year because this line is going to be any changes at 9:30. So you can tell from your budget worksheet with the 15 numbers, that's the true dollars that you guys passed last year.
Right, that's just what I wanted to hear.
And that actually, if you look at the number, 530-3561, it ties to the budget amount of 533-561 on the ceiling.
Correct.
But you can tell the modifications occurred because it's not matching up to
correct
what was presented in past last year.
Thank you. With that said, Ms. Robertson?
Yes, sir.
How were you able to cut your travel from the $34,000, we see the $31,000 this year, to the $10,000 requested, right? Yes.
The previous Secretary of Education was, I guess, on the board of several organizations and traveled extensively. I am, and no disrespect to the predecessor, I plan on being here more, and I just picked the. I'm from the university setting, and the university setting is that we can go to two out of state trips per year, and two in state. So that's pretty much the way I looked at my travel. Any training, any extra training, I did leave it at 10, so that there could be extra training available if, say, there was a, you know, someone, one of my employees named it to.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Motion to accept the amended
budget request worksheet. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a second? Motion by Ms. Barnett.
Is that 419-455?
Yes. 419-455.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Charlie Nates?
Yes.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. The 419, 455. Thank you. Johnson O'Malley, Regina Keith.
Amended travel amount. I noticed that it says manager and two staff to go to the NJOMA. Will the other money from NIEA be moved there so you can take another couple of people? Hopefully.
We didn't have a conflict though, because our challenge bowl is that same level as the national. So it may just be me attending the NJLMA because we have to prepare for the first competition.
I just have a question, and it has to do with the national board.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Johnson's no longer a a part of Creek Nation, so is he not affiliated with the national board?
I haven't heard one way or the other. Now, if he can find it, if he wants to continue to stay a board member with the national board, he would have to finance his own travel, and you know, he wouldn't have the support, obviously, of the tribe.
Like Mr. Brandon?
Pardon? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aide. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade?
Yes.
Dorothy Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. Thank you.
You got some
challenge.
Do what? She got the challenge.
Challenge, so?
It's by legislation.
Yes.
It's by legislation.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
right. Oh, yeah.
Next is Yafala Dorm, Mr. Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody.
This is federally funded, so but I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I mean, just generally.
Yeah, as soon as you get through with your questions, I have some changes that I need to share with you all. That's the main.
Okay. How many students are at the dorm presently?
At the present time, 53 students.
53. That's down somewhat.
That's down. It's as far as the last 5 years, it's not down. The last 5 years averaged 49.9 students.
Okay. I know there's a larger number in the fall. School starts.
Yeah.
Christmas time.
And if I had more time, I'd share with you things as to why it's down, but I just feel like I don't say anything.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I
think
it's an operating funds is the reason why we have to approve it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, on Schedule A, after the first sheet, we were left in a predicament. We had a week before school started, we had some resignations, and these were key people as to getting the school started. So we've had to do some things in here to sort of be creative in dealing with this matter. Because again, to me, the most important ones at the dormitory are our educational aides or our dormitory people. They're the ones who are our frontline people. And really, I wished there was a way to give them more for what they have to do. I really do. But if you look at the, there are three areas that we've not hired yet. The behavioral health, the librarian computer instruction, and then the cultural enrichment coordinator. Before we hire those people, we want to make certain that all of this has been okayed and we can get with the finance to make sure our account numbers are all correct on that matter also. And then the recreation coordinator. Does everybody have the same page that I'm on? Okay, the recreation coordinator. We did away with that position for this reason. If you notice on the second page of Schedule A, there is a dormitory manager. And in researching his resume and what he's been doing as the recreation coordinator, he's able to work both areas. So getting with HR, we came up with the position title dormitory / recreation manager. Knocking out that salary that went to the recreation coordinator, $29,120, the dormitory recreation manager receives $38,000. And the reason is because in all the job descriptions for educational aid, they are all to be a part of the recreation area of our students. They are to work together. And so with this one person being ahead, not only of both dorms, the ladies and the men, he also works with those dormitory people within the recreation area. So we thought, and just being creative into making certain that we didn't run over finances, we moved to that position right there. We had the day we needed the buses to go out. A bus driver came and said, "I can't drive the buses for you anymore." So, what do? We take our vans, the vans that we can use for the transportation of students. So, in dealing with an emergency hire, we looked at creating another position title the same as, if you see the educational aid, the first educational aid that has the SG8, the $31,366 proposed salary. This person is a educational aid transportation activities driver. And they do have to have the CDL, and they do have to have the air brake certification in order to drive that bus. So we put in for another position the same as that. It wasn't going to be as much as this person makes, but we looked to see if we could get somebody who would apply for the position with the same qualifications. But we did say we would like to have somebody who's experienced in working in the dormitory setting, and we found one. And his annual salary is $30,500. So again, we looked not to over, you might say, salary the other person, but at least we found somebody who could, because this is something we need. We have two buses that go out on Fridays and two buses that go out on Sundays, and we have to have a bus driver. And he resigned for the fact that he no longer could do anything. And again, I would rather not say as to why unless y'all ask me. So that leaves us with all of the educational aids, which is 9 total. And as far as running the dorm with the 3 shifts that we have, these 9 are capable of doing that without making any more changes, unless somebody resigns. The 22,277, I need to speak on that also. That person who received that salary was transferred into the health coordinator's position. So that one moved back down to a 21,112, which we have hired already somebody in that position also. So with all of those changes, and with those that we've not been able to hire yet, all the rest seem to be the same. So if there's any questions on that, we look to staying under all of what we presented on this first one.
Any questions?
I like some of these changes, like the behavioral health therapist and the library computer instruction, because clearly the children need to be occupied with academics and assisted. I mean, what's the average academic performance of your students?
The average is, I would say, at least a C overall. That's where the tutorial program is what we're looking for right now. We still have to deal with our own Mayan to work with that lady when she comes down, to work with our tutor program, our academic advisor. And then also we have the Verizon, who is coming down on October 28th with the tablets in order to give all of our students those for their learning also. And they will give them the websites that they can get on. They can only use it during the tutoring time. They can't take it home with them or anything like that, but they will be checking it in. And as far as the, without having a librarian computer person right now, we do have a dormitory person who is knowledgeable in the computer instruction. And then along with the academic advisor, they do fill in that area where it is open to the students, because again, we do have seniors, we do have juniors, sophomores who need to deal with essays and all of that. So it's open for their benefit and their use, and also for the younger ones also.
Do you guys have like an auditing process where someone comes in and evaluates the dormitory?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Federally,
we had one come in last year and received good marks because of how all of the dormitory workers knew their positions and knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. That was the one time that they came since I've been here.
So they do that annually? Or?
From what I hear, they can come anytime they want to without letting us know.
Do you follow all the policies and procedures of the nation, or what is your...
We sort of deal with both, because, you know, we go with the policies of our nation, but yet there are some things that we have to deal with because they're Bureau students also. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that we have to make sure they know. There are some things they don't have to know, but we have to make sure some things they know, such as a incident that happens that is a fatal incident of some kind. They have to be told, and we have the certain regulations of how to go about doing that. And this is where, again, when we lost our behavioral health person, that's the person who is trained for all of this. So once we get that person in, we'll have to provide training for that person to learn all of that also.
What's the policy of the dormitory for nepotism?
We follow the policy that's found in the Muscogee Creek Nation policies and procedures book.
What does that policy state?
It gives a listing of all of those who are family related. Mm-hmm. And before I hire anyone, I make certain that the persons who are going to interview with me. These people will all go together, and we'll, if there's anybody that we feel like we can't do it, then we'll not. But as to right now, I can't state all of them, but you know, it talks about the immediate family and so forth. But there is nothing, no one that we have in there that deals with the nepotism of any sort or kind. We have one who has a last name, but a cousin is not in the policy. So, you know, and he was there before I was hired.
You said we, is the hiring up to you, or is there a board, or you decide?
Yeah, we have a committee. Myself, and then the office administrator, and then dealing with whatever area. Sometimes we'll deal with the dormitory manager, recreations manager, or we'll deal with the academic advisor. And a lot of times, just to make everything proper, I'll use both of them, because they both have proved to be very knowledgeable about dealing with the people. And if there's, and I make sure there's three, you know, and if they need me to come in for any reason, I'll do it. But there's times when I will let them do the interview, they'll do the selections also.
So what is your relationship like with your boss?
I hope it's good right now. She's been honest with me, and I've tried to be honest with her. I have nothing to hide as far as being down there at the dormitory. She's level-headed, you know. She deals with you that way. She listens to you, and I like that. Some people don't. They're sitting there thinking of what they can tell me next, and I can usually tell when somebody's that way. But Dr. Robertson is one who'll sit and listen to all of the questions that you're answering, that you're wanting answered, and she'll answer it that way. That's what I like about her.
Ms. Barnett,
yes,
Mr. Jones.
Yes. Mr. Colbert, I appreciate you. I'm a product of the boarding school, 12 years, and I support the dorm. I do know that the enrollment, though, affects your BIE.
Right.
So,
and we know that.
On the numbers.
Yeah, we know that. In the interviews, let me say this, we do let them know that this is how finances are, you know, and they do leave there knowing that there is that possibility, you know. It's just like on here. Sometimes I think in some of our areas we get too top heavy in the top, and we forget about where we really need. That's why I wanted to make sure that we had the educational aid dormitory people we needed in order to function with those three shifts that we have. And I will stand behind those people 100% too.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aid. Roll call vote, please.
Cherney.
Yes.
Dave Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucia Tiger.
Yes.
Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passed.
I have one.
Thank you.
Real quick. The children go home every week. Are you considering changing that policy so they can stay during the weekends?
We've been asked that question, but there's not too much with the BIA we can do, but it's going to take a lot more money than
what you're getting.
Okay. So, and we have to do a pretty good little study on that too.
Just to address what Mr. Jennings had asked about bringing enrollment up, that's one of the things that we're working on right now is marketing, bringing someone in for marketing and really getting it out there and marketing with not just our within the Muskogee Creek Nation, but with other tribes as well, because we're so close to the Creek Nation and such. So that's on the top of the list for strategy right now.
Well, I know that the boarding school has changed a lot since I was there, but like Sequoia, you know, there's a criteria you have to meet to even go there. But now I'm used to everybody.
That's how I got in.
I didn't see that.
Okay, next is employment and training. Courtney. I say Courtney Cox. It's getting made a long day. Yes.
Mm-hmm. On your salaries, mm-hmm. Your career specialist, you got the pro salary of 25,917, and for worst classified, 28,309 for minimum.
Yes, I see that.
That may be brought up.
Yes. I apologize for that. Position, what had happened is we had trained someone in from our work experience program, uh-huh. And that was the salary that we had placed in that. So it was more on the job training for the individual.
That's still.
Yeah, and it was still, I believe that's where we got that number.
Okay, but it was still, someone had to be changed. You'd have to downgrade it, I guess. Reclassified by learning or something, because you can't have salary less than a salary range. Shouldn't be anyhow.
Turn to SG7.
Can we just going to change the salary?
Yeah. The scale.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's that?
Thank you.
to 29162. I'm going to still help you make that from here. There's going to be a change on the fringe part-time on the tribal supplemental youth program. It's the fringe part-time needs another $122 added to it.
What is it now?
It's 1626. It's going to be 1740.
Do you see that updated?
This was, remember, we had to add the...
It's just probably a small error, yeah, on the calculation for the... You know how they had the $500 incentive and they added fringe and then they put it into the salary and fringe line item? Well, there was just a small difference, a very, very small difference on the fringe.
For $122, that's all it is, but we wanted to make sure that you were aware of it.
Yeah, that's on this one.
Oh.
So add it.
Do we need to give them a copy of the new one?
It's not even the summary for us, the summary.
But that is what this is, the 1626 on it, isn't it? And we don't have the one that we're talking about that's updated.
That's a dollar. Mm-hmm. There should be another one that has these two items combined. That one. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have it on the my flash drive. Well, I'm on the flash drive.
Well, the thing is we'll need to know what that is before we get this number here. So we need to probably print that out if we can for you all. If that's okay, if we can move forward and maybe get that printed out and then bring it back for the youth one. Denise is going to go print it.
Denise,
right.
Do you
want to
print it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, just
open it up. We can just keep moving through the rest of her budget and come back to that. Because I don't want to be incorrect. So. Thank you.
$122, what are you guys trying to do added to the part-time?
To the fringe, it's part-time fringe, right? Because it's on the, it's part of the incentives, is what it is.
Right, but you're going, it's going to be part of the full-time fringe rate, right? But it's only charging the part-time rate, so it needs to be part of the full-time.
Okay.
So the fringe part-time would only be for your true employees of the $13,380 and the $16,26.
Okay, so is the full-time fringe okay then?
Yes.
So this
well, it's actually over a little bit if you because if you go to the first sheet where your full-time employees are,
mm-hmm.
you take that $60,782 plus $122. That line should be $60,904. So you would probably increase your budget. But the $16,26, $13,380 is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we do have that. So I'll keep your copy. Just like that.
Yep, that's what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's got it. And our budget ended up being 1678202 as opposed to the 1681080.
1678 202.
Thank you, Ruby.
You don't have to send me the change. The schedule's arrived. I'll just fix it on
okay.
over
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Do you have any questions? No questions? And motion?
Make a motion to approve the $1,678,202 amount for the employment
benefit. Motion made by Ms. Barnett to approve the $1,678,202. Second by Ms. Abe. A roll call vote, please.
Charlene Aide?
Yes.
Bodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucia Tiger?
Yes.
Okay, got 4-0 against.
4-0 against. Budget passes. Thank you.
You're getting them all. That's just the youth.
That's just the youth budget. There's several other budgets.
We on the agenda is just as all the whole program, but y'all did it as the youth, and so I'm assuming you're going to do it program by program.
The rest of the legislation.
So workforce.
The workforce and public law. And your public law as well.
That was just the first one. So we're going to have to approve the rest of the agenda. I mean the rest of the book.
Travel workforce.
However, y'all want to do it.
We have to include tribal workforce and. Program is all over the
college work experience. And then public law 477.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just have one question for the travel, of course. So, NIEA, what do you guys do there for the travel workforce? I mean, the 9-10, I get that. And travel.
NIEA, we haven't been.
They had that on there, and we haven't changed it, but it was actually, like, starts tomorrow, so there's no way that they could go because of the budget hearings. And it would have been, like, GED and that sort of thing, because that's what they have.
Oh, right.
I asked her not to take the money off because
right.
we did lower it to only 6,000, and there's a lot of trainings that are required in here. And so at first they were going to go, but we decided, so I can change that to say something else, but for the trainings.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with that amount or anything. I just, like, I forgot about the GED process because
yeah.
I was thinking, like, where you fit in. Because I've been to that conference, so I was thinking,
well, yeah,
where do you fit in?
We've never
okay.
been to it, so.
Okay.
Motion made by Ms. Barnett to approve the tribal work budget. Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nate.
Yes.
Betty Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
I'm sure you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. And then finally that public law one.
Make a motion to approve the adult education.
Motion made by Ms. Barnett to approve the APT adult education. Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Sharon Nate.
Yes.
Jerry Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes.
I make a motion to approve the nurse program.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Jennings to approve the nurse program. Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nate.
Yes.
Betty Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes.
To approve the natural gas scholarship.
Motion made by Mr. Jennings to approve the natural gas scholarship.
Second
by Ms. Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Sharon Nate?
Yes.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Alicia Tiger?
Yes.
John Chay, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes. Next is the tribal college work experience. Motion by made by Ms. A to approve the
second.
Tribal College Work Experience. Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Sharon Nate?
Yes.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Alicia Tiger?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That budget passes.
The last one's DOI.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's federal.
Thank you. Has been made.
Yeah.
We are going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be back at 4, please.
Ready?
Break. Voice vote. Do voice vote. Oh, voice vote. Oh, okay. Do we have to do that? Yeah, because you made a motion.
Oh, I was teasing.
Voice vote.
Yes, all in favor. Yay, okay.
Yes.
I'll write it down.
Okay.
So 10-minute break.